Today's show is sponsored by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. Go to Cufflinks.com/DVR today and check out some awesome Father's Day gifts. That's right, Father's Day is right around the corner. You could get NCAA, NBA, NFL, Marvel, DC, Game of Thrones. They got it all. All the cool geeky stuff that dad likes. Go to Cufflinks.com/DVR podcast and use code DVR20 to get 20% off your order today.
Hello and welcome to Crazy Hank TV on our final Game of Thrones, I guess, chat we'll have to say. I guess we're going to do. We got Axel.
Hello.
And Matt.
Yes. Oh, okay. I thought that was my intro.
It was, but then I jumped the gun.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. Well, Jack, thanks for having me back again. 3 weeks in a row, baby. I appreciate being back here with both of you. You can find me at Podcast Winterfell. And we are still talking about the show. Actually, this Wednesday, we're going to talk a little bit about the season and also about this documentary that's airing tonight.
Yes.
Which I look forward to watching later. But thanks for having me again, buddy.
I wonder how many people are going to hate the documentary.
I have to intercede that I already saw on Twitter people making jokes like, this documentary is amazing. Look how much work they put into a terrible season. Blah, blah, blah. Like, they're already making jokes about it on Twitter, but you got to laugh a little bit. You know,
yeah.
People are going to do it.
Well, thanks for having me back, Jack, for one of these fireside chats. I was hoping that I would have an intro somewhat like what you do on your other show, where you can just make up something like, you know, hey, I'm Char Grilled Man, you know. yes, I am Matt. I am on another show with Jack called The Ramblecast After Dark. And occasionally I moonlight as a Star Wars enthusiast on Owen and Brew's barbecue, where we fry up Star Wars food.
Still my favorite name.
So thanks for having me on to talk about Game of Thrones. It's like the show that everybody has something to say about.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone had an opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like there's one thing we can agree on is that everybody has an opinion about Game of Thrones and politics.
So. Yeah. I think politics got pushed to the side.
I know, right?
For the three or four days, it was just Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, and it was just like you had the angry people, and you had the people they were okay with it, but they were just like, I think I'll stay out of the fire.
Yeah, I think that I think a lot of the vitriol and people being upset kind of filters out. And more so what I noticed was a lot of people saying like, yeah, I thought it was good, but I mean, enough of Game of Thrones already, you know, it's kind of like the finale suffered. When we look back, people will think maybe it suffered more from fatigue than it did from people not liking it or whatever. It just from people kind of it oversaturating everything, you know? And I guess that's because like, I was reading a writer for like, I think it was like Hollywood Reporter or something. And somebody tweeted that, oh, you know, you're writing more clickbait for Game of Thrones. Aren't you tired of it already? And he was like, actually we fulfill our ad clicks by like, 1 a.m. the night the show is aired. So we don't need to. We just like the show. You know, like it's like people are just happy, kind of get into it, and then it kind of like becomes so much. But I don't know. What did you guys think? I want to hear what you thought of this finale.
Matt?
Oh, so unlike most people, or at least most articles that are out there, I enjoyed it. There's certain things that happened that I was like, oh, okay. Like I kind of expected the Jon and Daenerys scenes to kind of happen the way they did. I liked how they set some of that up. And the fact that was kind of like the first half of the episode. And then the second half was kind of like the ramifications of, said death. And so, I don't know. I mean, even one of our co-hosts on the Ramblecast After Dark, I mean, was really, really upset about about the way that things went. And I don't know. I mean, I thought the outro, the last scenes, and, you know, and I think about that as far as, like, you know, the end of a show, like, what are they leaving me with? What are the last scenes, you know? And it's focusing on the Stark children and their kind of day in the life, you know, and where they're headed and where we were leaving those in particular characters, because I felt like that was the world that we were opened up into, was through their eyes, and we got to kind of close it through their viewpoint. So, you know, as far as who ended up on the throne, I really didn't care, like, who ended up on the throne. Honestly, I was just kind of like, I loved that Drogon burned it down. I thought that that was really actually fitting to see Drogon burn it down. So to me, I was, you know, of course, I haven't had a dog in the hunt. I've been kind of like accepting what they give me, and maybe that's allowed me to let it pass through me and not, you know, against me. So
I like that attitude, man.
Yeah. Well, I kind of felt the same way. I mean, it just, I liked it. I'm always talking to Jay and my daughter about it. And I said, and they were kind of like, and then my daughter liked it, but Jay was kind of, I go, well, it was good enough. And he goes, well, shouldn't it be great? I go, but this is, I said it on the Ramblecast too. I said, it's not going to keep me from rewatching it. Now, there's finales. Like I said, I keep going to Dexter. I don't think I'll ever watch that show again, because it wasn't just the last episode. The last season was terrible. It was just terrible. But Game of Thrones, it was good enough. It gave me the answers I wanted, or not. It gave me answers to the questions. Another thing too, we point out, you know, that people are saying, well, it ended up with the Starks. So when the show first started, we didn't think there'd be any Starks left by season, the final season, right? They were all being killed off. So I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. And, you know, it's not going to keep me from rewatching the show. Was it the greatest finale ever? No. But it was good enough. Yeah. For me, anyway.
It wasn't the worst finale ever.
No, it wasn't. Anyway, go ahead. A lot of people are saying that. That's the worst finale ever. I go, there's no way.
You know, man, everything is the worst or the best ever now, right? Like, you got to really amplify everything, right? It's like, this is like, you know, that's the best drink of water you ever took right there, Jack.
It live on YouTube. Gatorade, but it's actually pretty good.
Okay. it's awesome, man. When I first watched it, I felt as you gentlemen do. I was like, okay, I wasn't happy with everything, but it was an amazing show to watch. Then I rewatched it and I podcasted about it on Wednesday. And then I thought about it again. And this is the first time I'm talking about it again. Usually I had like talked 20 times, but I really feel like singularly these last two episodes were absolutely amazing. I thought that this finale was an absolutely amazing, almost masterpiece level of television for an hour and a half of TV. Now, I'm not super happy with all the decisions they made, like Bran being the king. I would have liked, I was happy that Brienne was like the head of the King's Guard, but I would have liked to seen her with Sansa. I thought that would have fit the character better. I thought that I would have liked to seen a little bit more of like magic mentioned maybe in the epilogue. Like Bran says, I'm going to go find where Drogon is, and we're reminded that he can still warg. Right. And he's the king too. So it's like, it's kind of interesting to me that a lot of people were saying, oh, the magic is going to go away, but really they had to learn to live with it. And they didn't really highlight that. But I felt like the episode, when I was rewatching it, I was just loving it. Like the scene with Danny, with all the soldiers, and with Jon, and when Drogon is, I keep on thinking about it, when you think it's a tree that Jon is walking up to, and then the dragon shakes itself off.
Yeah.
And like how symbolic that was too, that it went from the ice to the fire. Like, so I just thought it was absolutely wonderful, the episode itself. And I think generally you know, like you guys are saying, we might not have liked all the decisions, but I thought it was kind of cool that it just continues the story too. Mm-hmm. Like the end was basically like four backdoor pilots, right?
Right. Yeah.
We can either follow Sansa, Arya, Jon, or Bran.
You know? I thought for sure they were setting one up for Arya.
Yeah. And they say, HBO says no, but come on. They're going to do it. They're going to do something. They'll let her go off and do a podcast or whatever she's doing, like us. And then she'll come back and she'll be like, I'd rather be making Game of Thrones. But right. I like what you said about coming back to the Starks. And I don't know. I really enjoyed it, guys. I really thought that, like, the episodes together, you had the whole Varys thing. He kind of sacrifices himself in that episode. And it was Dany. It was like the same thing. The two episodes mirrored each other, you know, in the way they were told. And I thought it was really brilliant. I loved it.
I mean, one of the theories or the ideas, and I've seen apparently other people have the same idea, but the fact that Daenerys isn't dead, you know, and I know it's an out there idea, but perhaps Drogon takes her off and she's reborn again. I mean, Jon was reborn.
Right.
Why not her? Yeah. And
Kinvara. Remember that Kinvara lady who was in Essos?
Right.
Could bring her back. I think a lot of people have been saying that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that would be a really amazing thing to think about another chapter. And it doesn't even have to be on screen, but another chapter in the book, or the fact that it just leaves it as a dot, dot, dot. You know, because, you know, one thing that we talked about last week about other great, finals as Sopranos, and how it kind of leaves you like, choose your own. You know, it's like, okay, where these characters go, now you choose your own. You know,
use your imagination.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, what's to say that the Unsullied don't find her? You know, and Daenerys comes back.
Look, dude, that's like the fifth pilot that they could have had, right?
Yeah, Unsullied, exactly.
Unsullied,
this show's never going to end.
Yeah, and I think what we're talking about here is that the great thing, and I have to mention Lost, of course, Jack, is like the world that is kind of created by the world, and it's in our imaginations, and we're like a part of that. So I enjoyed that the end, it didn't have a definitive thing. Like John dies, like everybody dies and only Sam is left, or, you know, like we had talked about a couple of different ways it could go, but I was kind of happy. I think we all kind of said like, hey, it's probably going to be like the story continues.
Right.
And that's what it was. And that was really satisfying for me because, you know, you kind of like, it gives you the opportunity to just kind of sit with it instead of doing something that's so final, you know, that you can't go past it.
Right.
And I like this world to continue.
I know one major scene people really had a problem with was when Tyrion is in handcuffs and he ends up nominating Bran. And I said, I agreed with it. Then I started thinking, I said, that's not the first time Tyrion's been in handcuffs and and certain death and gotten out of it. So maybe that was just, it was in character for him to, plus most of the people on the panel respected him. So,
yeah.
So yeah. I at first I was on board with people. Yeah, that was just stupid. That was just stupid. And I go,
why did they say it was stupid, Jack?
Because he was a prisoner, and why is a prisoner nominating the?
Yeah,
the
but king? look who was holding him. Look who his captor was. It was Grey Worm.
Yeah,
right. I think at that point, that scene really worked for me because you could see Grey Worm tried to stop him twice.
Right,
and then he just kept on going. And at that point, I think Grey Worm was kind of, you see how he eventually just agreed. All right, as long as John goes to the wall, we're out of here anyway.
Right.
So it was like he kind of was halfway out the door anyway. And in a sense, I almost saw this like look of resignation on the face. Like I would think of like, if you're asking the actor, what's your motivation here? He's kind of like, these people are just going to talk anyway. Right. Like let them do their Westerosi thing.
Right.
look at all this good it got me for coming over here. So it was kind of like he just let him, eventually it was like he wore him out.
Yeah.
What was he going to do? Kill him?
Right.
They had already been so much killing already, you know?
Well, and I think at that point, I mean, the Unsullied and Grey Worm, I felt like they were a snake without its head, you know? They really had no leader. I mean, yeah, he's a leader, but he's not. Grey Worm was never the decision maker. He always followed. He's not the person that's going to come in and say, okay, now that Daenerys is gone, I'm going to lead the second revolution or whatever, and, you know, try to take these people down.
That's,
you know,
a great, I felt, point. Like
it was actually in character for him to not know what to do.
Because he's always been told.
Exactly. Yeah. He's always been told. Yeah. His lot in life is to be told what to do. He's never been a decision maker.
Right.
He's not a shot caller, you know?
He's a baller. You're right. He's a baller.
Exactly. What he does. He's a baller. He's not a shot caller. So,
but no, that's a great point. That's a great point. And I think that was, you know, I mean, I when you said that, Jack, and I wanted to clarify, because I heard other people kind of say, oh, that was dumb. You know, why did they let him it was like a plot contrivance.
Right.
Let Tyrion talk. But that's what he's always done. You know, it's just like we've seen that four or five times before. He's, you know, like he knows how to play the game. And it was obvious that he had been sitting there in that cell thinking about this, because once he started talking, he had it all planned out. Bran the Broken. He had a name already, mm-hmm. you know, like, so he was, the wheels were turning.
Well, I went back to the scene with we actually don't see the scene, but Tyrion talks with Bran saying, tell me your story or something. Tell me.
Oh, nice, Jack.
Yeah. And I said, I tried using that. People, they don't want to hear it. But I said, no, but remember, that's what we don't see it. We don't hear it. But he did have a long conversation with Bran. So that's probably why he nominated him.
And everybody pointed that out after that episode, didn't they? Oh, what did he say to him? It's going to be something magical. Well, what it ended up was that they connected enough for Tyrion to already be forming a plan, you know, because I think it became obvious at some point, and that was like Varys' mistake. His mistake was that Jon was never going to agree to be king.
No.
So he should have abandoned that from beginning. That was the great mistake he made in the end.
Yeah.
You know, if he had gone to Tyrion and said, neither of them are going to be good, where does that leave us? Then maybe we could have gotten a scene where Tyrion says, well, you know, Jack reminded me I had a conversation with Bran. I was watching Crazy Hank TV and Jack reminded me that. But we have to infer that, which I think is something that I kind of enjoyed about this season, actually, that they trusted us to infer these things. I keep on saying I found a lot of it to be kind of like a play, you know, where you know that you're seeing like highlighted scenes. You're not seeing all the in-between because it's a play. So you let that happen. And that's how this season I kind of let it happen to me like that, you know, and that Tyrion thing was one of them. As soon as he was in front of them, I was like, okay, Tyrion is going to start talking.
Yeah.
And he did. And that's okay because that's what he's done.
And again, it wasn't out of character for him to be in handcuffs.
No, not at all. And like you said, Jack, all the people there liked him.
Yeah. They respect him. They like him.
I think one of the things that stands out to me for this season, and like I said earlier, you know, there's like 100 articles about why it's bad.
just 100?
Yeah, well, or maybe 1,000, but or 100,000. But there was, you know, I'd seen something about how like somebody had made an algorithm about, you know, how many words per episode or something like that.
Yes,
it showed kind of like a downward slope or whatever. But I will say this though about this season, and you know, you can nitpick and say, well, there's not as much words or dialogue, or maybe it's not well written. However, some of the imagery that came out of this season really sticks with me. And there's a handful scattered throughout the season, everything from the war at Winterfell and some of the, albeit dark imagery, but some of the imagery from that really sticks with me. Everything from Arya jumping out from behind the Night King.
Oh, that was excellent, yeah.
I mean, that scene is so emblazoned. It's like, how can you forget that, you know? Or even the dragons up above the clouds, like fighting the Night King on a dragon. Or Daenerys with, I'm going to forget, Joris?
Jorah?
I'm trying to remember his name, but he dies in her arms, though.
Yeah, Jorah Friendzone.
Yeah, exactly. Jorah. Those scenes are just like visually, you know, they tell a story. And I felt like these last two episodes had several of those. Everything with the White Horse and Arya, or even Drogon just blasting the city. And, you know, the very Darth Vader moment where you have the Kleegan battle, you know, where they're on the stairs and you see the dragon flying in the background and the rocks are crumbling.
Yes.
And here they are battling on the steps. I thought that imagery was just like really powerful. I mean, it's a strong image. You know, you can paint that image and it says what you need to. And I thought that this last episode had some really powerful ones of Daenerys coming out over the troops and the wings of Drogon, you know, rising up behind her.
Yeah, like that was very cool.
It was just like so, and you know, you had mentioned it too, Axel, like, Jon walking up to the dragon, you know, and the dragon coming to life underneath the snow, proving that like, he's the only person that could get that close to her.
Yeah.
He's the only person that could get past the dragon. Nobody else could get past that.
Well, you mentioned
it.
Go ahead.
Oh, and just some of the images of that scene of Drogon blasting fire right past Jon as he stood there and melting, you know, the throne, or Daenerys in Jon's arms. I thought all of those images, just images and not even actual script, were really powerful and powerfully done. Like they sit with you. So anyway.
Well, because we never actually see Dany sit on the throne.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So Drogon melting the thrones, basically saying if she can't have it, nobody's going to have it.
Yeah, there's so much. I love what you said there, Matt, because I didn't get that. I mean, I think, you know, when people are trying to prove a point, especially on the internet, they try to pull some fact or some chart or something, you know. And to me, that kind of show, it's a little bit of a lack of understanding of television, film, or even script writing to say that there's less dialogue, so that shows less of a commitment to character, or that kind of negates everything that you just said, which is I thought that the imagery this season surpasses like almost all the other seasons. Every episode had 4, 5, 6, 7 shots that were just beautifully framed and executed, whether they were some of them CGI, some of them just natural. And I think it, like you said, when John, it was iconic too. Like you had John is the knight when the dragon comes. Mm-hmm. And then when he kills Danny, it's that classic romantic pose. Yeah. Of the man and woman together like that, you know,
right.
And even killing someone like that, or the lover killing the lover like that, has been used in like Renaissance art. And, you know, it's so, to me, I could take a few less lines of dialogue, you know, and like they say, a picture paints 1,000 words. So if you do that chart, how much is that picture worth? So,
right.
I understand the point that people are trying to make, which it's just an allusion towards books or TV.
Right.
We get it. But it was never going to be the books. And the books are, I maintain the same thing I had from day one. They're two totally separate things, and they can't even really be compared. You know, you have to take them as they are equally separately. And I love what you said there about the imagery, man. There was... Even the last like montage that they did.
Oh yeah. John going out, you know, north of the wall.
Yeah. It was beautiful shots, man. Arya on the ship. Sansa getting dressed, that dress she had. I mean, that was with like the weirwood leaves coming through it. And
I agree. I loved seeing the fact that the, you know, the Stark banner was actually on the sail.
I thought that was awesome. Subtle. Good point.
You know, it tells you everything that you need to know, like in that moment, because you're like, wait, is she on a ship that she is she snuck on it? You know, it's like you have all these questions and they just show you right there. Hey, it's a Stark ship.
Because that would be the Arya way.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jack. Yeah, Matt, Jack, those are great points because that says something about Arya's character too, right? Like that she has embraced her Starkness and this adventurous assassin explorer side. You know, she's like, where in the world is Arya San Diego? You know what I mean? She's... Well, Jack, you probably know all those songs. It's a map. It's a map. It's the map, right?
Yeah, I've heard it once or twice.
From the grandkid, I know. It's been a while for me. You're right. Even those little touches show that, and that's in the imagery that I think is important. And people kind of, you know, people are fond of saying like, oh, the spectacle is amazing, but that's a lot, though.
Yeah.
You know, that's always been a part of this show and it built up. So that stuff was amazing stuff. And the burning of the throne. Did you think that Drogon was going to kill Jon? Because for a second I thought you thought so, Jack?
I thought so. Yeah.
How about you, Matt? What did you think so?
I don't know. I was worried that he, I don't know what I thought in that moment, honestly, like if he was going to kill Jon or not, because I thought on some level that the dragon respected Jon at least identified that Jon was, of that bloodline. I mean, I think there was a certain kind of like dragon recognizes dragon kind of, you know,
game recognizes game.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're ballers, right?
They're all ballers, every single one of them.
Take a little break here from my discussion with Matt and Jack. Wow, this is great, man. I love talking to these guys. The lost feelings come back, baby. Head on over to cufflinks.com/DVR. Cufflinks has been our sponsor this entire season. And don't forget, write us in with your favorite moment of the entire series, and you will be entered to win a pair of amazing Targaryen cufflinks. Email us at podcastwinterfell@gmail.com. And while you're on the interwebs, go to cufflinks.com. Check out their amazing Father's Day gifts. You can do that today and use code DVR20 to get 20% off your order. Amazing. Cufflinks.com. There had been some talk. What happens? Because I was saying, I think I said last week, what happens if they try to kill the dragon first and Jon goes in there? And some people are like, what happens if the dragon tries to burn Jon and Jon won't burn?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's magical too. And for a second, I thought they might do that. But then I was kind of glad, actually, and I'm usually into all this magical stuff, that they didn't go that way too much in this episode, that they kind of like, our characters will encounter the magic and it's part of what surrounds them, but it's really more about them. So I like the way the dragon almost said, kind of like, I felt the dragon was kind of like Grey Worm, where it was like, mm-hmm. I'm just going to let you humans, you know? You did what you did. It's not my job to judge it. I'm just going to take her away. Maybe back to where, because it was Drogon, remember, that was flying around when Tyrion and Jorah saw the, in Valyria, right? When they saw the stone men. Right. So maybe he's taken, the dragon takes Dany back to where she came to bury her, or you know what I mean? Like something like that. I thought that was kind of cool. But that was still the CGI in that scene. Like when I think about it, I think there was a real dragon there.
It was very realistic.
It was great.
It was.
You know,
I always assumed Jon was going to die anyway.
Okay.
I did too.
So I thought that, okay, this is where he's going to die.
I kind of assumed that Jon would die. I just, you know, but he needed to die purposefully.
Right.
because why would he be brought back to life?
Yeah.
I do want to point out, or at least mention the fact that, you know, for all, and myself included, for all the people that were like, you know, John's a bastard for not recognizing Ghost, you know, and like just not even petting him goodbye. It's hard to say goodbye. It's hard to say goodbye. And John's not one to say goodbye.
No.
And the fact that he actually ends up with Ghost in the end. And that scene where he is coming back to, when he's coming back to the wall, and you know, the guard there, I thought it was interesting that like, you can see it on his face. Like he is a man that is broken. He is not happy. He doesn't even, I'm sorry, I'm missing out on names probably because I had a little bit of this beard. But the red bearded guy Tormund. That was in love with
Tormund.
Yeah, he even sees Tormund. He doesn't crack a smile. He's not like, "Hey, bro."
Yeah,
nothing. Yeah. The one moment he's that resigned. He like perks up and he's actually happy is when he sees Ghost.
Yeah,
I thought that was really. I thought that was actually kind of a nice moment.
And it shows people should have had maybe a little bit of a patience with that. That sometimes when a TV writer or in a film, they do something that seems against character, it's on purpose and it's planned. And it was planned for you to remember that he didn't say goodbye to Ghost. Right. And then they make the special shot of him kneeling down and ruffling the, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And there were all these articles that came out and people on Twitter. I interviewed the director and they said, blah, 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 you know? And it's like, you just wait a little bit and you see it. And then that actually was like a really nice moment, right? Because it was the same way you had mentioned, like with Arya, with the Stark sigil, that was him coming back to his family. Like he came all this way and look what he found. There's still a Stark there, right? Like that's part of his family now. And then he gets to go beyond the wall and be like Mance Rayder and, maybe you know, is he going to do that? Or maybe he just gets a little house, finds Ygritte's sister or cousin because he likes the redheads. I'm not going to blame him for that. And he becomes like the new Craster, except he doesn't have sex with his daughters.
You know? I would hope not.
Yeah. Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we know he doesn't like incest. Yeah. He's against incest. We know that about John.
Yeah.
That's one thing that I will say. I would have liked at least one scene in either the penultimate episode or this, the final episode, it really wouldn't have worked, but maybe the episode before where John just basically said, because Varys said it, like they don't go for that here in the North.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice for John just to say to her, you know, like he at least owed her that much. He was kind of a bad boyfriend in the end. He really didn't support his lady. He didn't really try very hard. You know, Oprah would be very upset, but Maury Povich would be happy. You know,
yeah.
Just say like, "Hey, Danny, I'm sorry. I'm trying to love you, but you know, you're like, I'm not really into the incest thing." You know,
you're my queen, but you're also my aunt.
Yeah, like maybe they could have had a little longer discussion about it. You know, because it worked for Jaime and Cersei, and they could have even written a scene where they kind of said that, where he, you know, where like he's like, "Are we going to be like them?" And you know,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what about our children? If our children like each other, are you into that, Danny?
You want a Joffrey?
Yeah, exactly. How far does the incest go, babe? Can we like discuss this before we get married? You know, like, like I only like cousin level of incest is okay, but not brother, sister. Like where does the line get drawn?
Yeah. Yeah. Aunt, nephew. I mean,
second cousin.
Well, I know. Right. It's tough, but, that would have been cool, but I have to say, I was surprised when he killed her. Were you guys surprised? I was not expecting it.
For some reason, I expected it.
Yeah.
I wasn't shocked at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I felt like at that moment, like he had to do something. And I think maybe the shock came, Axel, is because he hasn't done anything.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
Well, I think it was Tyrion when he had his talk with Tyrion.
Yes.
And Tyrion reminded him that his sisters we're in danger.
That's a good point, Jack.
And that's when he decided, all right, she's my queen, but I have to protect my family.
Yeah. Because that's what I thought is, I thought in my mind, just as I'm watching, and I try to just go with the show, but you can't help to think ahead a little, right?
Right.
I thought, okay, this is setting up maybe what they're going to do with the other hour and 10 minutes or whatever of this show is going to be Danny versus Sansa, like setting up a battle. And then John will have to make the decision, but he went and did it. And I think that I was really surprised because I thought it might happen at that point, or somebody was going to have to do it. But when he actually did it, for me, I know a lot of people were disappointed, but for me, it reminded me of who this character was, because he's done stuff like this before. He hasn't always been a guy who doesn't do anything, right? Like, he did run away from the Night's Watch to try to save Ned, remember? And they stopped him.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
He has wanted to do things, and he's acted. He marched off to Mance Rayder's camp after they attacked the wall, remember? And that was a kind of a hero move. So it was just very tragic, but he finally, the Hamlet no more.
And I mean, he was very active. I realized that he didn't have the killing blow against the Night King, but he was in that battle at Winterfell. I mean, I felt like he was an integral part of that, even though he didn't have the killing blow. So for those that say he didn't have anything to do this season, I think he did.
Well, he built the coalition.
True.
He did. Yeah, he did.
Without him, there isn't – the White Walkers take everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Coalition building is important. Election's coming up.
Yeah.
did either of you want anything more from the Night King or the Zombie Walkers? Were you kind of like, give me something more or
– No, I think once Arya – I think it was such a cool scene that it just worked for me. I just thought it was because I think we talked about, I forgot all about Arya going away saying, you know, when she's
Melisandre.
When she tells her, I forgot all about Arya.
Yeah.
So when Arya killed him, I was like going, oh my God, I forgot about Arya.
Yeah. Right.
Cause you keep seeing Jon pinned down by the dragon.
Yeah.
Like going, well, how's he going to get out of there to go kill the Night King? I mean, how's this going to happen?
Oh, it was great misdirection.
Yeah. So they did. I mean, I know a lot of people said they weren't fooled. That's great for you. But it worked for me because I was fooled completely.
Yeah. I, Matt, to answer your question, I guess, again, with Lost, it kind of taught me that this is going to be about the characters and the mythology stuff is fun, but I did want more and I'm also satisfied with the decisions they made. If they had made a different decision to include more magic and like maybe even in this last episode when they said, hey, Bran, you're going to be king. He like lift up his arm and he said, I can never be king. I'm still marked by the Night King. You know, he'll always be a part of me and I have to go back with Jon north of the wall. You know, and then we get a little magic stuff like he goes off and I have to do that. You know, maybe there is another like I had a thought maybe was the Night King smart enough to understand that since he was like the head vampire and if he died, they all died, that he better go make another one of him in case he dies and do the same thing that the children did. Right. So maybe there was like another one up there and we'd get a little bit of it or. You know, there'd be some, but there wasn't. They really let the magic go and they let, and once Arya killed the Night King, she took away that threat. And I was kind of happy with that because it left us with our characters, you know? But I also have to say, I had also resigned myself pretty much before this season even began that they're going to do sequels and prequels and movies and tie-ins and whatever they can do. And the next one is supposed to be about how the Long Night began. So we're going to get plenty of that, you know?
Yeah, we're going to get a lot more mythology.
And that's okay.
HBO's not done making money.
Oh, no. No way. No way.
It's like Disney with Star Wars or Marvel.
Of course. Why wouldn't they? I mean, honestly, guys, if they said – if HBO pulled like a Netflix and said, guess what, everybody? We already shot a whole season of the prequel. It's coming up in 2 weeks. Would you be like, nah, I'm not going to watch it?
Oh, no way.
Never, we'd all never, be watching. Never,
even yeah. the people that didn't like it. Like you said, they would, you know, I have no problem with people that didn't like it. I get it. But they would watch it.
Yeah, of course they would. So, I mean, they're going to do it. And I was, I'm okay with that, I think, you know? I'm okay with it being spread out across many different series because this really was about our characters. We didn't get a whole season with the Night King training to kill them.
No.
Right.
We don't know who the Night King is. We have like two scenes with the Night King. So that's okay with me, you know?
One other question for you guys. If you brought up Netflix, if let's say HBO had put this whole season out and you could have binged this whole season straight through, do you think that the public response would have been the same or would it be a little different? Does the binge factor change things?
Probably different because people didn't like the fifth episode. And that carried over into the finale.
Yeah.
So if you're binging, you're not going to have everyone binging at the same time. You're not going to have that steamroll of just.
Yeah.
But I think after the fifth episode, you know, we'll wait. Like I think we talked about it last time, is I was kind of shocked that everybody hated it.
Yeah.
As much as they did. And I'm like going, oh my God. And so it was just like a week of hate. Then the finale came and people were already negative about finale.
Yeah.
So I think if you binge it, that wasn't so bad.
I you know what, Matt? I agree with Jack, and I also think it's interesting to note that that is how people are going to watch it from now on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if right now, today, someone for the first time happens upon this YouTube stream, oh, I don't want to get spoiled. I should watch Game of Thrones. They can just go right now if they don't have work tomorrow. It's Memorial Day. They just, like, you know, spend the next 73 hours watching Game of Thrones. And I think that it will be better in a binge. I really do. I think this last season would be better in a binge because I think people were tired of it. I think it was overexposed. Like, you know, it's funny how we have the internet now and we can look at anything we want from the history of all media, but we still get obsessed and everyone writes articles about the thing that's happening now. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah. People get tired of it. I think that there's a little fatigue from Game of Thrones. And I think when you binge it, people like it better. Like, I'll tell you one thing. I don't think Stranger Things would be as lauded if it was released week to week.
Yeah, I guess that would be the other flip coin of that is like take a great show that people loved binging and then release it week to week.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, some of the theories that people would build up and then
Stranger Things would break down in 15 minutes because that mythology is very weak. You know, it's a fun show and it's great when you binge it and watch it. But if you think about all the theories people would craft, oh my God, what's the upside down? And then is it? It's just a place where things are upside down.
Disappointed. Like hated it. Hashtag. Yeah.
You know, oh, look at the big
lazy writing.
Yeah. And so I think that's a great point you make, Matt. I think in the future, people will like Game of Thrones more, just like I find people that have watched another show that lost, that people complained about the finale. When I hear people who watch it now, they're like, oh, I thought it was really good.
Right.
I liked it. They're not like, and if they don't like it, they were just like, it wasn't the greatest. They're not like totally taken aback by it.
Mm-hmm.
As people were, like you all are saying from this finale, like, oh my God, it was terrible. You know, people writing articles like, will HBO lose subscribers because of this?
They will because it's not on anymore.
Exactly.
Exactly.
They'll get HBO Now or Go or whichever one you can get without the thing. But yeah.
They'll wait till Deadwood's over.
Oh, there you go.
Then they'll cancel their subscription.
Yeah. That's going to be fun.
But I'm glad I got to watch it the way
Me too,
we were able
Jack.
To watch it because the theories and all the stuff was half the fun. I don't think it, because I know I binge season, Jay and I binge season one, and my wife, because we didn't watch it when it first came on. We watched it. Jay got the DVDs. He goes, hey, this show is going to come back on in about, I think it was like 4 or 5 days. I go, we can't finish season one in 4 or 5 days. Well, we watched it in 2.5 days, I think. So it's just, I think we watched the first 12 episodes without stopping.
Yeah. And that was that's 24 episodes, right? Yeah. Or are there 26 in that season? That's not 10.
And then after that, we're just, and that's when Jay said, hey, there's this thing called a podcast and all that different stuff. But
and history was made.
Yeah. So it was just like, I couldn't imagine, because I always feel bad that I didn't watch BSG when it was on. I watched it after because I missed out on all the, you know, the message boards and all, the fandom. I missed out on that.
Yeah.
Whereas Lost, I got to be part of it. Whereas Game of Thrones, if it was binged, I'm glad I watched it as it happened each week.
Me too. Yeah. I've enjoyed the community, and even with negativity and whatever happens, that happens, you know? And I think Game of Thrones is different. Like, you know, Lost was a show about love. And in the end, though there were sad elements of it, it really had a more hopeful message. Whereas Game of Thrones is a tougher show. You know what I mean? It's not exactly, it's kind of more about like acceptance, and life is really shitty. You know, like, and we don't have running water or toilets.
Yeah.
But, and everybody smells.
Like, each season always has a moment that pulls the rug out from under you. Yeah. The character you're rooting for is not going to make it.
Yes.
And in this season, it's Daenerys.
Yep. Yeah.
If you were rooting for Daenerys, she's not going to make it. Yeah. She was the Ned.
I talked to, when I was talking to Jay and my daughter, I said, well, how about this? How about to please the fans? What if Daenerys, she's flying around and she gets one of those spears, whatever it's called, hits the dragon, throws her off, she dies. The dragon goes crazy and burns King's Landing down. Would you be okay with, would that have been okay with the fans saying, okay, Dany didn't go, we could kind of see she was going to go crazy, but she died a hero, which a lot of people want. I mean, I know a lot of people were upset that they wanted her to, like Matt said, every season, there's a Ned.
Yeah.
And so maybe if she was the hero, then it's not her fault, the dragon was.
Yeah, I like that.
Like the dragon burned down the throne, melted the throne. He burns the town down.
I think that's a fascinating idea, Jack. That really is, because then you could argue, like, you know, she had kind of become the dragon, and the dragon was following through on her wishes, but she didn't really decide. And
yeah,
I could see, but you know, people would complain about that too.
Oh, they would complain about it. but that would make the Dany fans, because a lot of people, like I said, a lot of them are just tick that she.
Oh, I know.
That she's strong, powerful woman, and she turned out to be okay. Yeah. Let's make her crazy,
right?
And I can see it, but it's just like, but that's the way it was. I mean, just I said, okay, maybe there's things where the writers could have taken, I think, the easy way out, and that would have been one of them. Okay, we're not.
But Ned was this like heartfelt, dad,
loyal guy,
held honor, you know, at a high esteem, and here he is, like, he gets played.
Yeah.
And
I think, and it's unfair, you know. So
and you could say the same thing for Dany. See, the one thing I think is when people were upset about the show and everything, I said on Twitter, oh, we're gonna be positive. And I shouldn't have said positive. I guess I wanted to say like fair and balanced, but that's trademarked already. I can't really use that one. So, but I maybe say like, just have a perspective, because when you get mad about it, you lose the perspective of looking into it deeper and seeing that, you know, I don't really think that Dany went mad. You know, I don't think she went crazy. I think that this was always a choice that she could have made. And the people who usually were there to stop her were not there.
You well, that, I think that she realized she had to lead the only way she was going to get the throne was out of fear.
Yes. And because John, she had, look, you know what a tangled web we weave. She asked John to lie. And then John didn't even kind of stand up for her by saying, look what you're asking me to do. Like, there, you know, he could have fought back more. I think that it was a failure. That's why it was a tragedy to me and not just a heel turned. And like in wrestling, like she all of a sudden becomes bad. I think she just basically went with one side of her nature that had always been present. And she was a person who, when she did something, she did it.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't like she was liable to say, hey, I'm going to just burn down half the city. No, she's got a dragon. She's going to go full force now. And this is her reign. And that's why I thought that the conversation she had with John kind of clarified that to me. And that's why people were still a little bit upset. Oh, she went crazy. Oh, that it's terrible. They did this to this character. Like, no, she didn't go crazy. She made a choice. And she explained it to John. She thought it was the right choice. She actually legitimately was like so removed from knowing what was right that she thought it was the right choice.
She is in that last scene with John.
Yeah. And then you had, you know, there was an article this week. I don't know. It was like, I think some military strategists or something wrote in and were like, no, Dany actually made the right choice. She never would have ruled Westeros unless she had burned, you know, so you have some people who are saying, actually, if you look back at history and in this show, that was the viable choice that other people had made because this is a land that is ruled. It's like, look how they all laughed at giving people the vote. This isn't exactly a progressive society, Westeros.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's sad, but it's a tragedy.
Yeah. And what's going to happen when Bran dies because he can't father any kids? So,
well, my hope is that's why they included that scene with Sam. That I can, in my mind, I can imagine that over the 50 years that Bran was, because you know he's going to live longer because he's a three-eyed raven, right? So he's going to live till he's like 90 or whatever, and he's only like 15. That Sam and him will work on it and they'll actually have, you know, they'll start by having the people choose who's on the council, right? Mm-hmm. And then they'll slowly get away from the council until the people are electing representatives. And then, you know, like happened in the real world, I guess. Hopefully it's still happening. I don't know. We'll have to see.
She's got to watch out for all that foreign money coming in from west of Westeros.
Now, that's my question is, I was thinking about this today. Did you guys think like they spent so much time with Dany and Essos? Now that she's gone, is it just Dario that's keeping like Meereen and all those other places and Karth and all those other places in Slaver's Bay? Are they just going to revert back to how they were?
I would think that.
Yeah, that's kind of like a sad story, isn't it? That we that's like
never even thought about that.
It's like a byproduct of this because the only people really keeping it together was Dario and the Seven Sons and kind of agreement she had made. But still, it was fear.
Yeah,
that ruled. So it's almost like her demise was also the demise of Essos too, which we don't really get to find out about. You know.
Hmm. So John screwed everything up.
Again.
Way to go, Jon Snow.
Yeah.
I don't know. After talking to you guys, I love the episode.
There you go. Awesome. My job is finished.
Well, I mean, yeah. My only thought is like I had mentioned earlier, I think it sets up all of these other stories, all of these other potential possibilities. Just like when Lost ended, I couldn't help but thinking about like, ooh, the children of Lost, you know, like thinking about the next generation, you know, and I think about the same thing with Game of Thrones. It's like, okay, what about that next generation? I was one of the fans that was disappointed that Brienne didn't write down in that book of books that she, you know, that, she was pregnant. Basically that was my whole thing. Yeah. I kept wanting her to be pregnant with.
Well, maybe she is.
Well, I just thought it would be interesting. I mean, you know, we had a lot of bastards in this season. It makes sense that there would be a Lannister bastard out there, you know, like
Yeah, but that wouldn't be good because she's got to see what's going to happen is she's going to go on a journey to the wall and she's going to finally say, I had the man of my dreams, Tormund, here waiting for me. And she's not going to be encumbered by Jaime's another crazy Lannister baby.
Fair enough.
Because I am a big ginger like Tormund, but I was always I always thought that Brienne was kind of like the purest character on the whole show. Like, to me, she was like the only person who I would kind of look back and say, she never really did anything bad.
Right.
You know, yeah. She was a really good person. And that's why I kind of didn't like that she went after the bad guy, Jaime. You know, I mean, I just felt like to me, I never really shipped them. That's the second time I've used that word on a podcast. but I did use it and I'm over 40. But I liked her with Tormund because I felt like, you know, Jaime was like, I don't know, he's like John. He's a little too emo. It's like too serious. Tormund, they could have fun.
Why always the bad boy, right?
Yeah, go explore in the wild, Brienne. You know what I mean? Go find a cave like Ygritte did, right? You know?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Well, I still say, you know, the next generation of Game of Thrones, you know, Daenerys is alive somewhere. She's an older woman. She's with the dragon. She's has this other army going on. You know, who knows what could happen? Bran's a lot older, you know.
Yeah.
John's an old man. You know, it's like I just think that all of these characters could age and there could be a whole nuance of another generation of players that come along and we get to see the old guard die off. And then,
well, I'm sure these ideas are being pitched at HBO right now.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I know we're going to see this prequel and they're going to shoot more. And I think they're going to do a sequel. Why not?
Yeah.
There's no reason not to. They're going to put money behind it and people who care and they'll have fun doing it. And we'll be back here on Crazy Hank TV talking about it.
Again, like we talked about, they left it with so many different sequel possibilities. That was actually pretty smart.
Definitely.
Anyway. Is that it? Are we done?
That's all I got.
Anything else, Matt?
No.
Anything else you want to get off your chest?
No. I got nothing else to get off. Should I? I feel like you're setting me up here.
No, I'm just kidding. Because on the Ramblecast, we just sat there and went. when someone was going off.
Oh, yeah, there is that. Yeah.
Because, you know, when people get upset, you just let them speak.
Yeah.
Sometimes once they start, you just got to let them finish.
So. Anyway, it was fun talking to you guys with Game of Thrones. I really enjoyed it. Axel, where can people find you again?
You can find me on Podcast Winterfell, and also pretty soon you should be checking out Daily DVR. You can subscribe to that because we're moving to other worlds, to California. We're going to be covering Big Little Lies with Jenny, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing that, so check that out.
Nice. And Matt, where can people find you?
Well, I mentioned it earlier, but Ramblecast, After Dark, RCAD, check us out there. If not, Owen and Brew's Barbecue, you can listen to an episode of me talking with my kids about the recent Star Wars trailer that dropped. And hopefully we'll have some other episodes coming up soon. You know, maybe Jack will be on an episode. That's kind of a big question.
I'm holding out for more coin.
More money. Okay.
More coin. Right. More coin.
Fair enough.
So no, this has been great, guys. Appreciate you guys coming on.
Yes, honestly, thanks, Jack. It's been really fun talking some positive about what I liked about the show. I mean, you know, without getting too much into the negative Nancy of things.
Again, people, I have no problem with people being negative. If that's what you felt about it, I have no problem with that. It just, I liked it. So I want to get a little bit, like you said, a little positive.
A little positive goes a long way.
Yeah.
Leave the whole earth scorched.
Because people know me. I can find the negative in almost anything. So for me to be positive is kind of a shock.
It is.
All right, guys. We're out of here.
Great show, kids. 1 in a million.
That's what I was waiting for.
Okay.